This week, I have asked Craig if he would teach our lesson. He's going to be teaching on Ruth. In a couple of weeks, Robert's going to teach, and I have failed yet to tell him or give him some characters in the Bible to teach. If anybody else would like to teach over the summer or throughout, just let me know, and I will figure out who it is, or you tell me who you want to teach about, and I will let you. It's good to hear what your perspective and what you find out, and you dig into the Bible and figure out what God is saying to us. And the best thing when you're reading the Bible and whenever you are studying a character, you need to ask, how does that apply to me? What are they going through? How does that apply to me? And God will show you how it applies to you. There's nothing. This Bible is alive. You can read it today, the same scripture, read it in a month from today, and you'll get something different out of it because you're going through something different in your life. So for somebody to say, oh, I've read the Bible through and I'm not going to read it again, no. We need to continue to read and study these characters and find out what God has done in their lives, because maybe you need that in yours. But anyway, I'm going to ask Craig to come on up and be with him. He'd forgot his phone, and his lesson was on his Kindle, on his phone, and I forgot to bring my book, and I apologize. So anyway.
Okay, so today we're going to learn about Ruth. It was an interesting thing I came across in that. There's only two women, two Bibles in the books in the Bible that were women, named after women. One was Ruth, and the other was Esther. It's an interesting, trivial, I guess, information is that Ruth was a Gentile who married a Jew, and Esther was a Jew who married a Gentile. I just thought that was a little bit interesting. And Ruth means a sight worth a seeing, beauty, friendship. So did anybody else do any studying? Do you have anything that's interesting about Ruth? Okay, yeah, that is true. And it's interesting how and we'll talk about it a little bit shortly, is that the kinsmen and how that works in the Jewish tradition at the time, and that was one of the things that was in my notes that I was going to read from the book. I don't have it, so I'll try to remember if I can say it best I can, is that when someone dies and a kinsman, somebody related, can take the marry that person, and because what it helps out is that helps keep the lineage the way it should be instead of breaking off. So that's sort of the reason for it. And I thought that was interesting that that's the reason they did that. a couple things about, and also the lineage of Ruth was a lineage of Jesus, in the way that it was interesting how God did all that. He allowed her life to take the paths it took, and because of that, she was a part of the lineage of Jesus. She had her son. She did marry into Marin Boaz, and they had a son, Obed, and then Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, and then on down to Jesus. So God allowed her life to take a turn that ended up her being part of the lineage of Jesus. Basically, the story overview is that Naomi and her husband Elimelech, I don't know if I said that right, anyways, moved to Moab because Judah was in a famine, and so they didn't have the food, so they went to Moab where things were better off. When she was there, her two sons, Chilion and Mahlon. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. And both of them ended up dying there in Moab. Does anybody know who Moab was, who became the Moabites. Right, right. Yeah, he was actually in the, he was a son. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was a son of Lot, and he actually took the land after Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that's where the Moabites were from Moab. After they had moved to Moab in a short time, there was a tragedy, and Naomi's husband, as well as her two children, both died in a tragic accident. So Naomi, homesick for Judah, she moved back to Bethlehem in Judah, and she actually had Ruth and Orpah were both Moabites. Moabites, however you say that, Moabites, I guess. And she, Orpah decided to stay where she was, and Ruth, because she had such a loyalty and love for Naomi, she chose to go with her. And despite Naomi trying to get her not to go, because she was a Gentile, and she would be treated poorly in Israel, because she wasn't an Israelite. She was a foreigner, but she still chose to go because of her loyalty and her love for Naomi. And then when they got to Bethlehem, Naomi got her a job in the gleaning, which was actually where it was the fall off of what they were picking, pulling the wheat or whatever the crop was. And so gleaning was, they were able to get the fall off of that and be able to, you know, feed themselves. So then Naomi had a kinsman, and the kinsman is, I hope to read it, but basically kinsman is where somebody that was related to someone who then would take over to keep the ancestral or the lineage going. And Boaz was the kinsman of Naomi and Ruth, because of Ruth's husband. And there's four chapters in Ruth. And anyway, so then basically Ruth ends up, or Naomi tells Ruth to go to lay at the feet of Boaz. And so he does. And to make a long story short, they end up getting married. And so Boaz takes her in and takes care of her. And in the book of Ruth, there's four chapters, and each chapter represents a stage in Ruth's life. It's also if you look at its relational, spiritual, our spiritual lives. The first chapter is on her decision. Ruth took not only did she love and respect and very loyal to Naomi, she also fell in love with Naomi's God, Jehovah. And that's another reason she wanted to go back to Judah, despite her being a foreigner and would be poorly treated. The second chapter was Ruth's service. Ruth wanted to care for Naomi. So, as I said, Naomi, I can't say it. You know who I'm talking about. She asked her to go help Boaz, and she did. So that was her service, and the gleaming and taking care of Naomi as she did. The third chapter is on Ruth's rest. And basically Ruth rested in the fact that Boaz would keep her take care of her basically as a kinsman. And then the fourth chapter is Ruth's reward. And her reward was that Boaz ended up marrying her and taking care of him. He was a wealthy man, so he was able to take care of her as well as Naomi. Now, it says also interesting that Ruth was, of the four women mentioned in the Bible that were in the lineage of Jesus, she was the only one that was noted as a virtuous woman. There was Tamar, who was tricked Judah as a prostitute. Rahab was identified as a prostitute as well. And then Bathsheba, who, of course, we all know the story of that, had an affair with David while Uriah was in the battle. Actually, Boaz is a picture of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. As Boaz, again, this was, I could give a better explanation if I had my phone with my notes in it. But basically, a kinsman redeemer is somebody who redeems a kinsman from a situation. And just as Boaz protected Ruth, Jesus Christ has redeemed us, and we become his kin through Jesus Christ and through the Heavenly Father allowing that. There's also, as Mrs. Connie said, there we should be able to apply this, and there are five applications we can apply from Ruth. One is that God is concerned about all people, regardless of race, nationality, or status. I mean, we see that with Ruth, because she was a foreigner in Israel, and they she was still, I mean, God still loved her no matter what. And we see that in, you know, today, you know, God doesn't look at race as most as some of us are taught, but it's you know, God doesn't look at our where we're from or who we are. He loves us all. The second thing we can learn from Ruth was that men and women are both equally important to God. He doesn't look at, you know, some cultures have tried to make women less important and less significant than men and a lower class, but God doesn't look at that. Well, he loves each and every one of us. God doesn't look at as, I mean, God loves us, each and every one of us. I mean, he didn't die just for the men. He, you know, despite the fact that, you know, that culture back at that time was, you know, it's women were second class and not as important as men, but God doesn't see it that way. God loves us all, no matter where we're from or what we've done. And God uses little things to accomplish great things. I mean, you look at Ruth's life and the way the facts went. You know, I mean, she was first her husband died, and then she stayed well with Naomi back to Israel, to Judah. And the fact that she served under Boaz in his fields, and then she served Boaz and became his wife. It's, you know, you think about all that little things that happened. You know, I look at my own life and, you know, the little things that God did that I, you know, felt his leading and I led, you know, that's why I'm here in Springfield, is because of, you know, the little things that God did one step at a time. I look back and it sure happened really quickly, but it, you know, it's when you trust God, then God will make things happen. But a lot of times it's the little things that we don't realize. When it happens, what we're going through is something that God will use and provide and open a door that quite often we don't see ourselves. And God has a Redeemer who can rescue us from the devastations of our own sin. We were all sinners, and we're saved by grace, and God did redeem us, just as he saved Ruth from the life that she could have had. God has saved us. You know, Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, and so it's, you know, as the story of Ruth goes. And so, you know, it's like I said, it's a good example of how that God will take care of us, and he loves us, and each and every day, and the little things he does for us. I don't have much more, so And actually, Naomi tried to get her to go back to Moab, and she said, no, I want to go. And finally, after Naomi realized that she wasn't able to persuade her to go back, that she allowed her to go with her. So you're right, I'm not sure what I meant to look it up, but I didn't look up to what gods Moabites served, but it wasn't the Jehovah God that the Israelites served. So it was definitely a game changer for her in her life. So if we trust in God and allow Him to take control of our lives and allow things to happen, then it's amazing how God works things out. Right. And it goes, and then Ruth talks about it. It even says that, despite she was laying at his feet, and that there was no, it was all very virtuous, and that's one thing that I think that Boaz was impressed with, it that she was, she didn't try to be something that wasn't virtuous. I mean, it was, her life was very, as Robert stated. That's also, you think about that with Jesus Christ. God knows our heart. God knows who we are. He knows what we're thinking. So it's like, he's already saying the same thing. Just hold on, I've got it. Just trust in Him. Not do stupid. Because we as human beings have, we have a tendency to like to do stupid. So, God, again, is the same message, is that, God is there for us, and He will take care of us. And just hold on, let Him, trust in Him. Well, I haven't got anything else. Any other comments? We've got a little bit of time left here. So we won't have... Sure. Right, that's what he was, epitome of virtue, is that the fact that both of them didn't act unvirtuous or in a sleazy way, to even though the opportunity was there. If you had a woman laying at your feet, I'm sure it's hard to not to, but he knew that, and I think he honored her. Well, it's interesting too, if you think about it. There was a different culture back there, but men were men and women were women. You think of our society is anything but virtuous in most cases, society as a whole. And but I think even back then, though, it just goes to show that even in the reading of Ruth, is that, men were men and women were women. So I think in a lot of instances that wouldn't have happened, both Boaz and Ruth were very virtuous and honorable. And I think a lot of that was that their desire to please God. So.
There's nothing new under the sun. So they face things. We face things that they faced. So there's nothing new that. And like you said, it was because they were worshiping God, and they knew what they needed to do. One thing that I was very unusual was the relationship between Naomi and Ruth. That usually doesn't happen. Well, most usually us as mothers, when our sons get married, there is no woman that could ever be as good enough on this earth for your son. okay? And likewise for your daughter. There's no guy out there that's worth their salt. Sorry, Tim. But now, you know. And so, number one, her son married somebody that wasn't a Jew. That would have been a mark against her right there to begin. And then after they died, most women would say, I don't want to have anything to do with you, you know. Because there's always been a little conflict between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, and a lot of it is because how you're raised, even today. You know, I'm sure Michelle looks at us still and thinks, this family is the craziest family I married into. And then I'm sure Tim goes, this is the craziest family I've ever... But, you know, they loved each other. That was a great relationship. And Naomi, I'm thinking, Naomi must have in her home, showed the love of God for Ruth to want to be and to follow after her God. And I think that's what we need to do today, is make sure everyone around us sees the love of God in our life so that they want to serve that God. That's good. I love the story of Ruth. Ruth, Esther, all the stories of the women in the Bible, I love. God loves them. The people in the Bible God loves, but He loves us just as much as He loves them and can use us. And our stories are just as important as their stories. And we all have a story. We all have a story how we met the Lord. And if you've come across someone... And you learn that in the way of the master. If you come across somebody that does not know God, tell them your story. Your story is important. But anyway, anything else? We will ask Garland, would you like to dismiss us in prayer?